to an incredible statement of faith that David prays. Psalm 31 and 15, but it's an incredible statement of faith when he prays, "My times are in your hands." But more than just encourage your faith, I want to stretch your faith. I pray that you and I will begin to pray this over and again in our lives, as David did here, when we really come to the fullness of understanding the implications of this great statement. So we're going to unpack that this morning over the next few minutes as we look to the Lord together. Let's pray. Father, we just open our hearts right now to the working of your Holy Spirit by the word that will be preached. I pray that I would glorify and honor you, and that what I say is truth as your word is truth. Sanctify us, set us apart with that wonderful truth, the word of God, and we'll live for you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know that life is uncertain and it's unpredictable. You know, globally and politically, we really don't know what's going to happen in the economy and how that will affect our lives. We don't know what will happen in rogue nations of the world, in wars and rumors of wars, how that will threaten our loved ones. Even on a personal basis, we don't know, because life is unpredictable and uncertain, if the company that we're working for will fold up or thrive. And we really don't know if the tests that we get from the doctor are going to read positively or negatively. We don't really know. Life is unpredictable. It is uncertain. And that's why the Bible tells us not to boast about tomorrow. It also tells us not to brag or not to worry, Jesus said. It said that tomorrow will take care of itself, the Lord told us. And so what we need is a certainty in uncertain times. Now, when David pins this verse in Psalm 31 and 15, he is going through a time of great uncertainty. He doesn't know the outcome of his situations. David had become a national hero, and yesterday they called him the pride of Israel after that he had slain Goliath and he had led their armies into great victory in battle. And today they have began a smear campaign against him. Some of the same ones have begun to ridicule and mock David. As a matter of fact, when you read this psalm, the entirety of Psalm 31, it indicates to us that they would literally duck away into buildings or turn the other way if they saw David coming down the street. They didn't want to be seen with him. They didn't want to speak with him. And literally, there were those that were surrounding him, plotting to take his very life. But in the middle of this uncertainty, when he writes this prayer in Psalm 31, in the middle of all that, I want you to notice this incredible confidence that David has in God. Let's pick it up in verse 14 of Psalm 31. When he said, in the middle of all this uncertainty, "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands." David is saying, my future, the events of my life, everything going on in my life itself is in your hands, O Lord. Now, Psalm 31 is one of the most important psalms in the Bible. It's one of the most important passages in the Bible. And I would encourage you, maybe tomorrow, whenever you do your next devotions, why don't you include Psalm 31 in your devotional time? You will find it a fascinating psalm of David and what he is going through and his incredible trust in God. But you'll find the first three verses of Psalm 31 repeated in Psalm 71, pretty much word for word. It's an incredible, important psalm. When Jonah was in the belly of the whale, he will pray this psalm in that dilemma, in that despair that he found himself in. Jeremiah, of course, Jeremiah and Israel in his day was certainly going through a time of uncertainty, because certainly they were going through a time of uncertainty. You picked up on that, didn't you? But there are some things that are certain. But they were being invaded by Babylon, and Jeremiah and his writings quotes from Psalm 31 six times. But maybe the most important person that used this psalm was the Lord Jesus Christ himself from the cross of Calvary when he hung there. And he prayed verse 5 of this psalm. And he said, "Into your hands, Father, I commit my spirit." So right in the middle of this prayer, David is saying, "I trust you. You are my God. My times are in your hands." I don't know of a safer place to be than in the hands of God. And I love the way that David teaches us through the Holy Spirit inspiration of what faith really is. Because he said, "But I trust in you. There's uncertainty all around me. I don't know the outcome of what I'm going through, but I trust in you." And then he says this, "I say you are my God." For David, you see, God was not just a distant God. Now, when he says, "My times are in your hands," he is talking about the sovereignty of God. It's a great statement about God's providence and his providential care for us and his sovereignty and his control in our lives. But for David, he wasn't just a distant God in his faith. He wasn't just trusting in a God that made the universe and spoke things into existence. For David, he says, "You are my God. I love you because you first loved me. I know you because you know me, and you are revealing yourself to me in measures that really take me beyond what I could have ever imagined in my life." And you read David's writings, and he gets lost in the fact of how that God reveals himself. It's a personal relationship, kind of like when he says in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd. He is my God." And I want that to really get deep in your spirit. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he exists. Yes, he's sovereign. And that's foundational. That's important. But he is also a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's a personal relationship. It's a personal communion that we have, and we grow in the likeness of God. And David sets up this whole faith statement with that understanding of "You are my God. I trust in you. My times are in your hands." You know, to be in the hand of God is a wonderful place of security. David one time was going through a time of discipline by God. And God, I think, must have tested David's faith. And he said, "David, I'm going to give you some choices here for your discipline. Would you rather fall into the hands of men or the hands of God?" And David said, "Oh, let me fall into the hands of God. He is merciful, and he will save, and he will deliver. Don't let me fall into the hands of men." And that's the place that we need to find ourselves. When we say, "My times are in your hand," to understand there is no greater place. You know, the hand of God is an interesting subject throughout the Bible. It describes God's person. It describes his work for us. And when the children of Israel, you know, crossed the Red Sea, and the Egyptians who were pursuing them to take their lives drowned trying to get to them, Moses wrote the very first song in the Bible. It's found in Exodus 15. And in verse 6, he said, "Lord, your right hand is majestic in power. Lord, your right hand shatters the enemy." And we know that when our times are in God's hand, that we have a hand of protection. We have a hand of victory. We have a hand that is fighting our battles, and we stand still and see his salvation. Ezekiel talked about his hand in Ezekiel 1:3. And as he opened up his great prophetic work and the supernatural working of God through him in inspired scripture, Jeremiah talked about that the hand of the Lord came upon me. God's hand is upon your life this morning. You are not alone. You are not just hacking it through life on your own, but God's hand is on your life. And then David, it says in Psalm 37, in about verse 24, he said, you know, sometimes we stumble and we even fall. But he says that your great hand of grace lifts us up and picks up a man that stumbles and falls. I could go on and on through the Scripture. But I guess the greatest verse, and we sung about it already this morning in one of the verses, but the greatest verse about God's hand upon our lives and my times are in His hands. And what that means to me is when Jesus gave to us the understanding that He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Great Shepherd. He is the eternal Shepherd of our life. And He said, I want you to know that I give you eternal life and no one plucks you out of my hand. I just pray this morning that somehow in your life that you can come to a place in your own faith life that God will stretch you to a place that you can say, my times are in your hands. My times are in your hands. Now, you know, whether you're going through a situation this morning that's uncertain, or you may feel like in your own life things are going pretty well, this is what we need to pray at all times, whether good or bad circumstances or situations, we need to pray, my times are in your hands. Now, to reinforce that, to reinforce this wonderful, incredible statement of faith that stretches our faith to trust God more, I want to give you three things here this morning that will help reinforce that in your life, that you really get a hold of the fact that you can yield and you can surrender to the sovereignty of God, to His working in your life, to yield yourself over completely and totally into the hand of God. And here's the first one that I want to share with you this morning, is that God ordained your life. He ordained your life purpose, the call of God on your life. He ordained that in advance. Before you were ever born, before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, God already plowed a furrow in this life for you to follow. He already had mapped out for you the destiny for which He wanted you to glorify Him and praise His name. And before you were ever thought of in this world, God thought of you, and He not only thought of you, but that He brought you to a place of understanding that His purpose will prevail. His purpose is for your life. Now, this is what David knew when he wrote Psalm 139, that great psalm, you know, in Psalm 139. Look at it in verses 13, 14, and then in verse 16. He says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. You know, I don't know. I've sat around and watched my mother knit and others knit, and it's a fascinating thing. And David said, you know, that's the way God made us in His room. He's so intricately involved in your life. He's so in touch with you that He says that before I was ever created, you created me, rather, in the inmost being and knit me together in my mother's womb. He said, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. Then He says this, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book. Watch this, before one of them came to be. Would you say that with me? Say it over your life as you begin to think about my times are in God's hands. Let's say the last phrase together, the last verses together. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Let me say again to you that you are not the product of some kind of random reproduction in the universe. You are not an evolutionary accident. I don't know, have you ever been introduced as your parents' accident? Have you ever seen or heard somebody introduce one of their children as, this is our little accident? Well, this is Jim, he's 15, and this is Jill, she's 14. Well, little three-year-old Jimmy, he was our accident. He might have been their surprise, but he is not their accident. God has ordained and knit you together in your mother's womb before one of your days were ever brought to be. Nobody is an accident nor a mistake, but you're the handiwork of God. Now, Jeremiah, think about him. He was so intimidated and felt so inadequate when God called him to be a prophet. He just didn't think, as we most often do in ourselves, that he was up for that. He didn't think he had the qualifications, as most of us who have ever done any work for the Lord kind of feel in our times. But notice what God had to say to Jeremiah, and he says this to you this morning. He said to him in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 1, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." Did you hear that? Before you were formed in the womb. He says, "I appointed you, I ordained you as a prophet to the nations." That word "know" in that scripture, "I knew you," God said, is a Hebrew word that can also be translated "chose you." God chose you. He ordained you. He knows you. And he says, "I chose you to be a prophet before you were ever formed in the womb." The point I'm trying to make this morning is this, that we come to the place in our lives that we understand my times are in God's hands, that he is the one that has gone before me. I want to tell you that you don't know what happens tomorrow, and I don't know what happens tomorrow, but God exists in your future. You may not know the future, but God is there. When you are there, God will be there. He is and was and is to come. He is the beginning and the end, and he is the Alpha and the Omega. And when you get to the place that you will go next in your life, God is there for you, existing already. We think of Paul's great conversion experience, and we think about his salvation experience on the Damascus Road. And it's an incredible story in Acts chapter 9 of how that he came to faith and put his trust in the Lord. And if you read in that passage, you'll hear God call Saul of Tarsus to stand before kings, and the great things that he's going to suffer for preaching the name of Jesus. And sometimes we kind of get the idea that that's when Saul was called. But that's not when Saul was called. That was not God's starting point. Paul reveals that because God revealed it to him in Galatians 1:15. And he said that I was set apart from my mother's womb to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make known who Jesus Christ really is. Well, we can talk about David, and we can talk about Jeremiah, and we can talk about Paul. But what about you? God says the same thing for each one of us. And in Ephesians 1 and 4, I want you to speak this over your life. When you say, "Lord, I can completely trust you with my life, my situations, my future. My life is in your hands." I want you to think about that God created you and ordained your life before you were ever born to carry out his will and his purpose. This is what he says: "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." You were already chosen in Jesus Christ. God's got a path. God's got a plan. And what we need to do is put our faith, first of all, in Jesus, to trust him as Savior and Lord. And then every day of our life, we come back again and again to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he can perfect and perform his will that he has purposed for our life. That's the wonderful, wonderful things that we read in the book of Ephesians. You just keep reading in the book, and you land on Ephesians 2 and 10. And it says this, not on the screen, so just listen: "For we are his workmanship." That word "workmanship," as you know, is poetry in the Greek. Can be translated poetry. You are God's work of art. You are God's masterpiece. He says that you have been created, chosen before the very foundations of the world to be God's masterpiece, workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Here it is: "To do good works which God prepared," now watch this, in advance for you to do. It's God who gives you meaning in your life. It's God who gives you purpose. You know, life is God's gift to you, to me. Treasure it. Value it. Use it for his glory. Use it for the maximum that he's created you to do. Again, see yourself as being formed and created by His mighty hand. Celebrate your life and say, God, I yield myself to You. My times are in Your hands, for You ordained Your purpose, my life purpose, in advance before I was ever born. The second thing that reinforces the fact that we can talk about this morning, the fact that my times are in His hands, is this, that God overrules my circumstances for good. I don't know what situations you are in, but if you and I will put our trust in Him, know that He loves us, and completely surrender ourselves to Him in the midst of circumstances, God will overrule those circumstances for your good. You know, when I begin to recall what this really means in my life, David is helping us here. He is saying all of the events in my life, all the events in your life, everything that happens to me is in God's hands. The outcome of my circumstances, they're in God's hand. And if we can only learn to rest in that and stop trying to manipulate and stop just worrying about the uncertainty or the difficulty that we in and trying to do it on our own, and if we could just surrender it to God and say, Lord, I give You my circumstances. I give You my situation today. My times are in Your hands. That's where we begin to find the joy and the peace and the purpose. And we begin to live fruitful lives. You know, I really believe that God wants us in faith to prepare and plan in life. I believe the Scripture is very replete with that. That we're not to live a passive life. And whatever will be, you know, just passive through. But He wants us to plan and prepare in faith. But, you know, the Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And what we do is we bring our preparations and our plans and we put them on the altar of not my will, but Your will be done in my life. And all of a sudden we begin to release those anxieties. We begin to release those fears over to the Lord, those situations that are coming against us. And we can find peace and we can find direction in life when it seems very dark in the circumstances around us. You know, I find this in that I fight against, and I don't know about you. It's when I start trying to plot. I'm in a circumstance, I don't know what to do. I'm in a situation I didn't see coming, and I don't know what's up ahead, but I'm going to start manipulating and plotting and trying to direct people so that if they'll do this, then I can get that. That's when I get in trouble. I don't know about you. When I start trying to manipulate the situation in my own might and in my own power. You know, one of the most well-known verses in the Bible is one of the most misunderstood, in my opinion, one of the most misquoted, and one of the most misapplied. And sometimes I hear people, as I'm talking with them and discussing with them, maybe a situation they're going through, they'll quote this scripture. And sometimes we get it backwards, and I'm sure that I have too. But I want you to look at Romans 8 and 28. And the Apostle Paul here, he says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Now notice, God's at work. Your times are in His hands. And He's going to work out those situations. He's going to even overrule in those situations and circumstances for your good. But then He goes on to say not only does He work out in all things, does He work for the good of those that love Him? For those He foreknew, He went on to say, He also predestined to be conformed. Now, this is the great purpose of God. This is the ultimate purpose of God for your life, every one of us, to be conformed to the image of Christ, His Son. Every one of us to be found in Jesus, as we sung this morning, to be saved and to begin to grow in His likeness. And he said, I want you to know, Paul did, that all these circumstances, if you will just surrender them to the hand of the Lord and give them to Him, that He'll begin to overrule and you'll begin to see yourself looking more like Jesus in the decisions that you make. In the difficult times when you didn't have a clue what you needed to do, God will begin to work in your life. Now, this verse does not say that God causes all things. I've heard heard people quote it that way. Well, you know, I don't know why God is doing this to me. Listen, how many of you know the difference between good things and bad things? I do. You lose your job, that's bad. You get a raise, that's good. You know, you get sick, that's bad. You get healed, that's good. Your marriage is full of joy. All the men said, that's good. Your marriage is, you're at each other. You know, there's a difference, and God doesn't cause all things. There's some bad things in this life, but I want to tell you what God does. He overrules in them. He's in control. And He, in those things, those bad things, He'll begin to work in your life. And you'll be amazed when your times are in His hands, how God began to work in your life. And it doesn't say that not only that that all things are good in our lives and that God causes all things, but it goes on to really tell us that God is at work in all things, that He's overriding. And if we will put our trust in His working in our lives, He will bring it to a purposeful end, a good end, that we can reflect the glory of God, the good in our own lives and the good in others. You know, sometimes we're just thinking about ourselves. Well, how is this going to turn out for my good? Well, God wants it to turn out for your good. But I tell you, when God works, He works it for the good of everybody. Amen? It's not just my raise, but everybody gets a raise. It's not just my promotion, but God gets promoted and others are promoted or His glory is promoted in my life. But God can overrule and override. And those things that are bad and going on in your life, He can take them and turn them around. And it's incredible what God will do when my times are in His hands. How many of you in here have ever been to Enterprise, Alabama? Raise your hand. Wow, leave them up. Wow, look around. Enterprise, Alabama. Where are the rest of you? You need to get out more. Enterprise, Alabama is right there with the Niagara Falls and the Grand Canyon. I mean, I've been there. When you go into downtown Enterprise, you will find a statue, a monument to an insect. That's Enterprise, Alabama. And what happened was when cotton was king in the South, all Southerners know that we thrived in the cotton fields back home. And there's a little insect that came through from Mexico. No offense. I think America's probably had its share of pestilence too. But there's a little insect came through from Mexico. And that little insect called the boll weevil loved cotton. And it just tore up the cotton fields. And the economy began to fall. And depressions began to hit. And the farmers were just going under in the Deep South as though the Reconstruction days weren't enough after the Civil War. It was just really hard times. And this boll weevil was devastating everything around. Well, George Washington Carver, one of the great botanists and scientists, he was just understanding the mystery of the peanut. And God, he says, was unfolding to him all the uses of the peanut. And he found out, him and his team of scientists found out that the peanut would thrive in that part of the country, Enterprise, Alabama. You know, Jimmy Carter's family made it rich on the peanut from over Plains, Georgia. Anybody else? It's all in that area. And he found out that it would thrive. And he introduced the peanut to the farmers around Enterprise, Alabama. And I want to tell you, those peanut farmers, they realized that that boll weevil hated peanuts. He'd just leave the peanuts alone. He loved cotton. And they began to thrive. And their prosperity grew to the point. They said, you know, if it hadn't been for this boll weevil, we'd still be out there picking cotton. We'd still be out there just living meagerly off the land. But this boll weevil came in and gave us a better crop and a more prosperous crop. You know what? Some of us need to quit planting cotton and start planting peanuts. But more importantly, some of us really need to get a hold of the fact that whatever's going on in your life right now, it is not the end result. God is overruling and God is overriding, and that is coming against you to hurt you and to harm you, God, if you will submit to Him and trust Him and say, my times are in His hands, He will turn it for your good this morning. Well, praise Him. He's worthy. I can surrender my life to Him. And the incredible story of Joseph teaches us that. How that his brother sold him in envy, in jealousy, sold him to the Ishmaelites' caravan. And then he ended up in Potiphar's house, maybe for a year, not really sure, as a household slave. Then he gets falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of rape and ends up in prison, maybe for 10, 15 years, not really sure how long that Joseph was in prison. But through all of those circumstances that were working against him, that seemed so diabolical in his life, God took it and He raised him up to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And out of the prison, because of the situations and circumstances he was in there, Joseph was known to be used by God to help people overcome in times of adversity. And he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and he gave a great plan of prosperity because a famine was coming to devastate the land. A famine was coming that would affect that entire part of the world. And it would affect his mean brothers back there that sold him into slavery, that did it maliciously and did it with envy and jealousy in their being. And they too would come to Egypt at the foresight of Joseph to buy food to keep their families and their livestock from starving to death and going under. And it was there that Joseph, would reveal himself to his brothers that, I am the prime minister now of all of Egypt. Answer only to Pharaoh. And I want you to know that I give you grain because of my kindness. I am Joseph, your brother. And they were scared and terrified. They said, here is the most powerful, one of the most powerful men in the world. What is he going to do to us? But look at it in Genesis 50 and 20, and you'll understand how that God will override in your own life, how that He will bring to bear those things that are meant for evil, but He'll turn it for good. And Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what it is that you see being done at this time, the saving of many lives. You know, the bottom line was not that Joseph was promoted to prime minister. The bottom line was that he was used to give glory to God and to bring good in his life and in the lives of those that God loved. And then finally, the final reinforcing principle this morning is that God orchestrates your life course. How many of you have gone down a river and you've done some fishing or maybe some boating, and all you can see in front of you is the water in front of you, maybe the bend ahead. But then you get a bird's eye view of that river. You get a bird's eye view. And on the map, wow, it is twisting and turning. You can't see that in the moment. But it's going to flow out to its intended purpose. And I want to tell you this morning that as you and I live our lives, that we can't see what's going on in the moment. We can't always be able to understand and make sense out of, why am I going through this? But we can say, my times are in your hands, God. And you orchestrate the events of my life. I'm sure David was that way. I'm sure while he's writing Psalm 31, I'm sure that it was tough for him to see God's purpose. It could have been at this moment that he was fleeing from Saul, who wanted to kill him. And David has to go down into the Judean desert, and he lives in caves, literally. hiding from the king who's marshaled an army to kill him. He even has to go to foreign territory, over into the Philistines, to preserve his life. Have you ever felt like that in your life? You say, well, I've never been pursued in that sense, but it seems like that at the moment, you're wondering, what is the purpose of this? I want to say to you that there's nothing that happens to you that's inconsequential. Everything matters in the providence of God. When you are in God's hands, there have been times in your life that you won't be able to see it now, but you can look back and you can say, yeah, that's why God put me there, and that's why I went there, and that insignificant event that looked so random at the time, but it has such importance. You know, Martin Luther, the reformer, said, we can't always trace God's hand, but we can always trust God's heart. Now, that is a true statement, very true. But I want to tell you that when you trust God's heart, there will be times in your life that you can look back and you can say, yeah, I had to be there to get to there. Yes. And all of a sudden, you see that God performed something beautiful, maybe in your marriage, maybe in your church or in your ministry. Wherever you were, God was directing and developing it all. I look back over my life and I can tell you that as messed up as I've been and as often as I have stumbled and fallen, I've got back up and I've looked to God and I can see every step of the way. And David, you know, he makes this incredible statement at the end of his life. You see, we're talking about looking back over your life and seeing how God orchestrates so much in your life that you don't even see at the time. And in Psalm 37, he says, you know, I have been young at one time. Now I'm old. Yet, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or seed begging bread. And he makes that statement. So we know David is an old man. He's looking back over his life. But then he says this in verse 23, Psalm 37 and 23. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. They're orchestrated. And you look back and you say, why in this world did that happen to me? God is saying, if you will submit to me and surrender to me, if you can get to that place of total surrender in your life, to say, my times are in your hands, you can look back and you can see that I've delighted in your way. I orchestrated your steps. What about you? What about me? This prayer of David's is a prayer that I think I need to be praying daily in my life. Now, whether I do it literally or not from this verse, but it's a prayer that I need to come to constantly and say, Lord, my times are in your hands. You ordained my life purpose in advance. You've got a purpose for me. It's not just going to come on me by surprise. Lord, you have overruled so many times in my circumstances. If the Lord hadn't been on our side, the psalmist said, where would we be? And Lord, not only that, but I see how you've orchestrated, how you've moved and how you've worked. You know, I think about Jesus on that cross praying this in Psalm 31 and 5, talking about my times are in your hands. And he prays this incredible prayer hanging from the cross. It's not a prayer of desperation. It's not a prayer of, well, I've been defeated here. No, it's a prayer of victory and finish. It's a prayer of accomplishment and purpose to fulfill God's will for every one of us in the salvation of our souls. And just before he left this world, he prays this incredible prayer from Psalm 31 and 5. And he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. Would you do that this morning? Would you trust him enough in your life that you can say, Lord, I commit my way to you. I commit my life. I commit these events. I commit myself to you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I'm going to ask you to do something with me this morning. We all worship differently, and certainly I want you to be at that place with God that He's brought you to do this. But I'm going to ask you to lift your hands with me. Would you do that? And there's a purpose in this. We often ask you to lift your hands, but there's a purpose of just lifting your hands. Would you just say to the Lord, Lord, into your hands I commit my life. And maybe you're here and you're sick in your body. And you would you just say right now, Lord, into your hands I commit this illness. Into your hands I commit this addiction that I've struggled with. Into your hands I commit this financial dilemma. I commit my marriage. I commit this child. Lord, into your hands I commit right now. My times are in your hands. And right there where you are with open palms as though you're releasing it to God, you're saying, my times are in your hands. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm going to put it in the hand of the one who can heal and deliver. And right where you're at with your hands lifted, would you just say, my healing is in His hands. My deliverance is in His hands. My peace is in His hands. My direction for living and life is in your hands, Lord. My joy is in your hands this morning. The salvation of that loved one, Lord, it's in your hands today. I give it to you. The turnaround in their life, Lord, is in your hands. And I receive today. I've released and now I receive. Would you go ahead and just give Him praise all over the building with hands lifted and open hearts. Begin to praise Him and say, Lord, my situation, my life, my events, my future, they're in your hands today. Father, I praise you. I bless you, Lord, today. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for that I can't do anything about today. But I'm so glad, God, today it's in your hands. Hallelujah. What a place of safety. What a place of promise. What a place of protection and power. What a place, Lord, that you're working out your will and your purpose, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Would you just begin to praise Him? Begin to thank the Lord. Aren't you grateful that you serve a God that says to you and me, I knew you before you were born. I purposed your life for you. I know you from the end to the beginning. I know you, who you are. Father, we bless you and we praise you and we honor you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Pastor Les, lead us in this chorus. If you can sing that chorus, just sing it with Pastor Les, and let's just worship Him and
you
praise
are
Him.
God alone.
Hallelujah.
Time began, you are on your throne.
Let's worship Him today.
You are God.
Lord, we thank you today.
And right now,
hallelujah.
In the good
praise your name.
Bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone, unchangeable. You're unchangeable, unshakable, unshakable, unstoppable, unstoppable. That's what you are, unchangeable, unchangeable, unshakable, unshakable, unstoppable, unstoppable. That's what you are. You are God. You are God alone.
Worship Him, church. Declare it to Him. Lord, we praise you.
You are on your throne, and you are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your throne. You are God alone.
Would you just lay your hand on the person's shoulder nearest you? Would you just do that? Maybe that's your loved one. Maybe it's somebody that you care deeply for in your life. Might be somebody that you don't know very well. But let's just ask God today to take those things as we release them to Him, our life, and begin to bring healing and encouragement and strength. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that You would touch today. As we lay our hands on one another, situations, the struggles, the uncertainties of life, Lord, we pray that we can say, my times are in Your hands. We thank You for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to announce something to you that's very important. And I've called Kim up this morning to, you can stand with me. And you know, this coming Thursday, July the 13th, we will experience our 34th year anniversary as the pastor of your church. Well, on a Wednesday evening service in July 13th, 1983, Kim and I met with about 20 adults in that little building over there, and I shared with them my story of how that God led me to Rincon and how that He had given to me a vision, and if we would work together, God would fulfill and accomplish a lot of things. We would put Jesus first in our ministry. And over the years, God has brought you here. And because God has brought you here to this point today, we can just look back and all be so grateful for God's bountiful blessings on our church. It's a wonderful work of God, because God brought you and it's been His grace. And to me, you're absolutely the best. But my times, our times, are in God's hands. And being confident of that, I want to announce to you today that I am resigning as the lead pastor of Rincon Church of God. We want you to know that we are so very grateful to the Lord. He has allowed us the wonderful privilege to pastor one of the great churches, and I mean that you will find anywhere for these 34 years. And it has just been a wonderful blessing. And I give Him all the glory and all the praise for every accomplishment. I want to thank you for your love and kindness you have shown to us in such great measure. I want to thank you for your prayers that you have prayed for us. I want to thank you for following my leadership as I endeavored to follow the Lord. Kim and I, we love you. We love you with all of our heart. And you will always remain there. God put you there. You know, about 5 years ago, Kim and I both began to just sense the same thing, really, that we needed to prepare the church that one day we were going to leave. And as you know, not only has she stood beside me in pastoral ministry, but for 20 years she served as my administrative assistant, and she served as secretary here in the church, and then bookkeeper. And we began to prepare, and I hired Vicki Steele to be my administrative assistant, the church secretary. I hired Brandy Clark to come on and be the bookkeeper, so that when we left, you wouldn't miss a beat, that this church would flourish and grow. And then, with the blessing of the state administrative bishop of South Georgia and the overwhelming support of the church council, I asked Les and Tressa to come back and assume the role of associate pastor and music pastor, worship pastor here at our church, with the goal that Pastor Les would succeed me as lead pastor here. We are going to make that official transition from my ministry over to his Sunday, July the 23rd. That will be our last Sunday with you, our last day of responsibility, Sunday, July the 23rd. We've got 2 more weeks to enjoy your friendship and fellowship here, but we know that we will carry you and your friendship and your prayers for a lifetime, and we thank you for that. On Monday, July the 24th, I will assume the responsibilities of being the lead pastor of the Vidalia Church of God. As God led me to Rincon 35 years ago, and then actually brought it to pass 34 years ago this week, as God did that in my life, I've just seen and witnessed his direction and opening doors. I'm not going to go into that story this morning, but the point is, my times, your times are in his hands. As I look back over these years, I can truthfully say with the psalmist David in Psalm 16 and 6, when he said, "The boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places." Your inheritance, Lord, was delightful. And I think about him bringing me to Rincon, to the Rincon Church of God, to Effingham County. And I honestly can say, God has favored me to be with you and to be able to have this awesome opportunity for the last few years. And the last 34 years, actually. But I want you to know, again, and affirm to you, our great love that we have for you. So kind to us, so good to us. And we will always remember that and give God thanks for you. And I pray God's very best blessings. I pray his favor. This church is going to reach heights and see things from God that you've not even conceived yet. So I rejoice with you in the wonderful future that God has for you as a church family. I'm glad that we're all part of the family of God. Amen. And we are all one in him. God bless you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. And thank you so very much. We'll be with you two more Sundays. July 16th and July the 23rd be our last Sunday here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the privilege that we have to see you work out the purpose of your will in each of our lives. Truly, our times are in your hands. And Father, as we look back over the course of our lives, I pray that only until we get to heaven will we be able to see what you've done here together with us and what you will do in the future as a result of the fine people that you've brought together at Rincon Church of God. Bless these your people. Speak your very peace over them. And Lord, give them a vision that will be astounding to their natural minds that they can only accomplish by the Spirit and power of God. We'll give you all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Amen.